Well, it's good to be with everybody this morning and just to come in and worship together. Some of you that were on the missions trip, I feel like we're old friends. We have shared so much life together. I didn't realize I was speeding going down the road. I actually don't think I was. The speed limits on the highways in Montana are 70, and then on the interstate is 80. And so I think that was probably the mix-up that Sean just didn't realize. He was wondering why I was doing 15 over the speed limit the whole time. You know, I know that Pastor Jason kind of thanked you for being a part of sending the team to Montana, but I'd like to take just a minute and really personally thank you. The team that came was exceptional. The project was twofold, the construction side of things as we completely remodeled the outside of the parsonage, and then the kids' crusade that was a two-day crusade for kids that actually ministered to kids, teenagers, and adults all. It was just an incredible team that showed up in Montana and have been a tremendous blessing to Pastor Michael and Kimberly and their family and the church body there in Rocky Boy, and to the Chippewa Cree people that make that their home. And so thank you so much. You were a great blessing, and your generosity made it all possible. The project was completely underwritten by you guys, and through BGMC, the kids also were blessed. And so for all of that, I just want to say thank you. My wife's not here with me this morning. I have, I used to say when I was younger, I have one wife and two kids. But I was afraid I'd get that mixed up backwards and then I'd get in trouble. But she's traveled with me this summer, but now she's back in Montana. And just right after we left, a couple weeks after we left, they got 4 feet of snow. You probably heard on the national news. It was a historic storm even for Montana. And so they still have snow up in part of that country. And but anyway, you didn't come this morning to hear me talk about all that. I want to just begin by maybe just conveying what our call is. My wife and I serve as missionaries with Intercultural Ministries and Assemblies of God. We're a branch of U.S. Missions. And our calling and our passion, in a nutshell, is to help Native American children and youth to encounter Jesus Christ in a life-changing way, primarily through the ministry of Indian Youth Camp. And rather than try to share a lot about camp right now, I have just a couple of minute video. If we could go ahead and just roll that video, then I'll just come and share.
Indian Youth Camp exists to provide a week of quality camp for over 200 Native American youth each summer. It's a chance for campers to take part in games and fun activities, to see old friends and make new ones, and most importantly, to encounter Jesus Christ in a life-changing way.
If you have an opportunity to serve at IYC, I would definitely encourage you to do so.
The impact that you're going to have in these kids' lives will go so far beyond what you can imagine and what you can foresee.
My kids have such amazing times at the altar. Today, my youngest said the thing that he looks forward to the most is the altar times in church, because he learns about himself and who he is in Christ.
Hundreds of volunteers make Indian Youth Camp possible year after year. From room staff to kitchen staff, every person fills a vital role in our mission to see young lives changed.
You know, we think of camp as life-changing for the students, but even more than that, I believe it's life-changing for the staff as well, as they get to minister to the kids and they get to build relationship with the kids, and to see what God is doing is incredible. And I believe that discipleship doesn't happen when we hear about ministry, but discipleship happens when we do ministry.
This is my eighth year here, and I just see a tremendous change in the students. The message that is delivered here brings hope to the native students throughout Montana.
Amen. So, Indian Youth Camp is specifically designed to minister to Native American kids ages 9 to 15. And we have a mentoring program for teenagers that are 16 and 17 that have aged out of the camp. They can return for free and model for the younger kids coming up a hope that things can be different and that they can successfully live for Christ. And so this morning, I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about IYC. That's what we call it, IYC. Many of the campers that come to the camp have significant challenges that they face, both individually, personally, and in their families and in their communities. And a lot of the kids that come to IYC are completely unchurched and never heard the gospel ever before in their life, and have never, ever experienced an encounter with the presence of Jesus. And the missionary Paul, we call him the apostle, but he was a missionary. He said this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." And one evening we were just about to start our staff preparation service. The kids come on Monday, but on Sunday night, the staff all gather together, and we have a prayer meeting where we prepare our own hearts, and we intercede for the week of camp that's coming. And I was just ready to open up the service, and I got a text, and I'd like to just share that with you. It was a note from a Native American young lady who had attended IYC growing up, and she began her note saying, "Before this day, 12 years ago, I was tormented and in a very dark place for months. I remember sitting on the steps at my auntie's house, hating God and yet asking him if he was real and to show himself." And that note took me back a few years, and I remember playing basketball with her on the courts there at camp, and she was one of those kids who was just better than everybody. She was confident and capable on the court. And yet I realized that inside she was a young teenager that was insecure and that was hurting. And it gripped my heart as I began to read that note to the staff that had gathered together that evening for the week of camp that was just ahead. And, she was on track to become one more awesome Native American young lady, full of potential, who never reached her potential. And I think about that often, because unfortunately her struggle is too often the norm for so many of the Native kids across the seven Indian reservations in Montana. I know your team was there, and you saw some of the challenges that face the kids that grow up there. When we moved to Browning many years ago on the Blackfeet Reservation to start a church, we planted a church there for 10 and a half years. That first summer we were there, there was a young 16-year-old that was killed in a drinking-related accident. Her and some of her friends were out, and they missed a curve, and she was one of those that was killed in the accident. And I knew the family. And the next summer, the same month in June of the next year, they asked me if I would do the funeral for their 12-year-old daughter. Those were their only two daughters that they had. She was killed in a drinking accident as well. Her and her 16-year-old cousin, who was a part of our youth group at the church we had just started, were on a four-wheeler, and they pulled out in the first lane of the road in this housing area to allow a car to go by. And while they were waiting, another car that was a bunch of people that had been out drinking whipped out to pass and hit those two girls. They estimated doing 100 miles an hour. And both of them were instantly killed. And so we did a double funeral in the high school gymnasium for these two young ladies. And what do you say to a family that just in 1 year's time lost both of their kids to the encampment of the enemy stronghold that brings destructive things into a community? And then a few years ago, I received a call from that same family again. They asked me if I'd come over and do the funeral for their son. He was now in his 20s, and he had gotten into, I think, maybe some kind of an argument or something. I don't know the whole story. That night with his mom in the kitchen, and went in the room and killed himself with a 30-06, and he died in their home there. And there was only one child left. And I remember doing that funeral service and then going over to the house afterwards to gather with the family. And the reality of that just hit me so strong that this one family has lost three out of their four children at a very, very young age because of the plans that Satan has laid out for so many of these young people that live across the reservations of Montana. And I share that with you this morning, not because I'm trying to depress you, but I wanted to give a little context to what we do. It's not just like a regular church camp and we just show up and most of the kids are Christians. There's some significant issues that many of these kids face. But I share that with you today to emphasize the absolute essential need for the empowering of the Holy Spirit in ministry. And make no mistake about it, you need it just as much in Rock Hill as we do in Montana. There is nothing that we can do. I love what the scripture says, that the word says that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. But when you face circumstances that are so overwhelmingly negative, it just underscores the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's for that intention that Jesus tells His disciples, before you go and undertake all of this that is going to change the world, this gospel of Jesus Christ that I was reading about earlier, you wait until you have the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can accomplish all that I will send you out to do. You can't accomplish these things in your own, but by the power of the Spirit, there's absolutely nothing that God cannot do. I mean, I can't put anything down, no matter how impossible it might seem, that God cannot do by the power of His Spirit. And if He gives you and I an assignment for anything, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's this Halloween week of or 2 weeks of ministry that you're doing that requires all kinds of energy, and you're wondering, well, is anybody even going to be touched or changed by that? If God gives us an assignment, no matter how difficult it is, if we walk and move and depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit, everything that's in the heart of God to be accomplished will be accomplished. And that's enough. And that's enough. I know it doesn't mean that the road is smooth all the time. It doesn't mean that everything always turns out the way we dreamed it would turn out. But the heart of God will accomplish everything that He wants to when we walk and live and move in the Holy Spirit, allowing Him just to flow through us. And we are just vessels that He can use. I'd like to share with you the rest of Kayla's story. She went on to say, well, I'm messaging you all to let you know that 12 years ago today, I made the greatest decision of my life. I said the sinner's prayer and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then she put three exclamation marks after that statement. I have never been the same. I'm sharing this because you all have had an impact in my life. You poured into this broken Indian girl's life. You gave me hope and gave of your time to let me see Jesus through your actions. I'll never be able to repay you for that. What you did at Indian Youth Camp was not in vain. And for all those still a part of camp, it's not in vain because his word does not return void. I'm an example of that. Your prayers for my life have helped me, and I am so thankful for them. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. In the midst of all that the enemy is doing to destroy, this gospel of Jesus Christ is the key. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes. Across native country, the suicide risk is quadruple the national average. It's the highest of all ethnic groups in America. There is no people group in America that is at greater risk. Before Indian Youth Camp, Pastor Jamie Burnett called me. Pastor Kent and Jamie Burnett called me, and they were getting everything ready for camp, and we were working out the details. And at the end of our conversation, he says, "Oh, Pastor, would you just pray with me?" He said, "We've had two deaths already in our high school this year, just a small high school." He said, "We just had graduation last week, and we had one young lady that graduated as a junior because she had enough credits and was able to graduate. And we just found out last night that she killed herself." And so we prayed. And then that week at camp, you know, that's just a couple of weeks later, we gathered around Pastor Kent and his wife and a couple of the teenagers, and they were just broken and weeping because they just had gotten word the night before that another one of their high school friends had killed himself during that week of IYC. So four out of that one little community. After Indian Youth Camp was over this past June, in July, the church on the Fort Belknap Reservation, where the Assiniboine and Grovant tribes live, did a special prayer walk and sent out a request for prayer, because in the month of July, in that small community, they had five students commit suicide in that one small community. And that, you know, we see the power of the enemy at work like that. And instead of shrinking back and thinking, "Oh no, what are we going to do about this? Or there's no hope, or the enemy is just winning, and why even bother? Let's just move on to something else." But instead, we can speak the strong name of Jesus, because there's power in this gospel. There's power in this gospel. And if I don't believe that, there's no reason for me to do anything for God. There's no reason for you to do anything for God. It was the power of this gospel of Jesus Christ that met you and I somewhere on our path. And I don't know exactly what your story is, but somehow supernaturally the power of God came in, and there was a witness that began to stir in your heart, and you knew that there was hope and that there was grace and that there was love in Christ. And you, and as you gravitated towards that, God did not disappoint, but he did what only could be done in a miracle. And he set us free from the chains that were seeking to drag our souls to hell. Well, that evening I was just thrilled to be able to share with those that had gathered together at that prayer meeting her testimony of what God had done in one individual's life. And I really wish I could tell you tonight that that's the story of every single young person that we minister to out there. But there are so many thousands of Native American young people across Montana that have not yet met the amazing Jesus that Kayla did. And that is why I believe the Lord has raised up the ministry of IYC. From a small beginning, the first year, let's see, what time is it? Oh, I've got plenty of time. I know your pastor told me this, you know, we can go to 12:30. I think maybe 1 o'clock would be okay. First time I came to IYC, it was a camp that was already going. There was about 60 kids there and a handful of staff. And I'm telling you what, it was on the brink of anarchy the whole entire week. There were kids, it was over right by Rocky Boy. It was held just over the hill from where the church is. And there were kids, they had kids 8 to 18 in this camp. And it was just a little small Kiwanis camp that they rented. Kids were running all up in the hills in the middle of the night, not staying in their dorms. I mean, just out running back over towards the reservation. Fights were breaking out. We had one of the teenage girls that punched one of the staff girls with doubled up fist right in the face. And then the staff girl was going to beat her up because she was so mad when the girl hit her, but we caught her just in time. kids would just walk out of camp and mad, just walking down the road and saying, I'm leaving. And the police were called. We had attempted suicides at camp. It was just absolutely chaotic. And there was no program to speak of for the day. And then in the evenings when we would have the chapel services, it was just in this cafeteria building, and they'd sit on the benches at the tables. And it was just hard and disruptive, and nothing would happen. And then on the very last night, on Thursday night, we'd get a breakthrough. And it happened year after year after year. And God would pour out his spirit, and kids would just be weeping in the altars. And God would just be moving sovereignly just by only, as the way only God can do. And then it was over. They would leave that service, and when they'd go to snack time or whatever, you'd go down there and see the kids, and those same kids that had just been weeping in the altars and just had this amazing encounter with Jesus would be swearing like crazy. And I used to think, God, how can that be? I mean, I know what happened there was genuine. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. But then how can they turn around a few minutes later and be swearing again and not even seeming to have been in the altar? And I didn't understand it for a long time, but one time it seemed like the Lord just spoke to me and he said, it's because they thought that that was all I had to offer. It was just that moment in the altar where they would give their life to the Lord and where he would pour the ointment of his presence upon the wounds that so many of them had, just such hurts in their life. And it was a marvelous time, but they didn't understand that there was even more that Jesus would do that would go beyond that time in the altar. And little by little, God began to build that camp. And in June of this year, we gathered together. We had 292 campers. We had another 22 students in the mentoring program, and we had over 200 staff that had come to volunteer at the camp. We had well over 500 people that came together for that week of IYC. And in just the last few years, we have seen literally hundreds of kids give their life to Jesus Christ. Hundreds. Sometimes we sow and we sow and we sow and we wonder, is anything going to ever grow from what we've planted? I'm reminded of the verse in Psalms 126, verse 6, where the psalmist says, he that goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow. In the New King James, it says, he will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. He's talking about the harvest, isn't he? And I saw that at Indian Youth Camp. There was this one boy that had been giving us a ton of grief at camp. And he was a teenager, about 14 or 15 years old, and just hard. And my heart was breaking for him, but yet at the same time, he was just on the verge of being sent home. Matter of fact, I wanted to send him home. He'd kicked in the door jamb of his room and split the door jamb open. We had to pay for that. And I think he'd been smoking marijuana in the bathrooms and, you know, just causing problems. And I saw him walking over towards me. He broke away from his friends, and I was curious to why he was coming to talk to me. And just as I got to the door of the chapel in the middle of the afternoon, he met me. And he said, "Hey, Pastor Richard." He said, "Hey, how do I do that thing?" I looked at him, I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." He said, "You know," he said, how do I do that thing where I get my sins forgiven?" And it touched my heart. You know, I'd not seen any indication that God was doing anything in his life, that he was even interested in what God was wanting to do. So I said, "Oh," I said, "you want to surrender your life to Christ?" And he said, "Yeah." So we walked inside the chapel, and we stood down in the dimly lit altar, and I just talked to him what it really means to surrender your life to Christ. And when I got done explaining it to him, I said, is that what you want to do? And he said, oh, yes. I said, well, I can lead you in a prayer commitment, and if you pray that sincerely, God will hear you, and he'll forgive your sins. And so I began to lead him in a prayer, and he surprised me. He prayed loud. He didn't mumble. He didn't act like he was shy about it. He and I were just standing there, and this boy I barely knew just confessed, repented, and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And when we finished, he looked up, and this big smile broke out on his face, and he just reached out and just grabbed me and just hugged me hard and tight. And he was never the same again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone, everyone who believes. And you know, this morning as we were singing, I'm sure this was planned out or whatever with your Halloween and all that stuff, but you know, you were singing over and over and over again with one theme, the strong name of Jesus, the strong name of Jesus, the power that's in the name of Jesus. There is power in this gospel that power in this gospel that is enough for whatever a person needs. One night at IYC, I was walking in the altars, and there was a teenage girl that was laying on the floor, and there was kids scattered around. People were ministering to her. And as I walked by, I was just praying, and I heard her say, I just can't. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to stop, and so I knelt down beside her, and I said, what is it that you can't do? And she just kind of turned her head up a little bit and just said, I just can't do it. I said, do you mean you can't give your life to Jesus? And she said, yeah, I can't. I said, do you want to? She said, oh, yes. I said, then there's no power in hell that can keep you from giving your life to Jesus if you want to give your life to Jesus. And so she prayed this prayer of repentance, and it was just amazing to see the power of Jesus at work. In just a few minutes, she was up hugging her little friends and just smiling, left that place rejoicing. A few minutes later, I got a call to go to the girls' dorm. And as I got up to the landing outside, the medical staff was holding this girl, and she was just crying because all of a sudden, every joint in her body just started aching. And I looked behind her, and I saw the hallway was jam-packed with all these little apprehensive eyes looking on. You could see the fear, the superstition, wondering, oh no, what spirit power is at work right here? And so as we talked with her, asked her if she'd given her life to Jesus, and she said yes. And we started to go on, but the Holy Spirit prompted us to ask her again. And when we asked her if she was sure, she said, I'm not. And just like 10 minutes earlier, she gave her life to Jesus Christ on the landing outside of the girls' dorm. She had missed it in the service. And then I thought, all of those kids, the devil had set that up so well so that every one of those kids would be dissuaded from following after Jesus. After she gave her life to Jesus, we were talking to her and we said, you know, you belong to Jesus now, so we're just going to speak the strong name of Jesus over this attack, and Jesus is going to heal you. And, you know, I mean, you take a risk when you say something like that, right? I don't know if you've ever done this before, but have you ever thought, God, what if you don't do what I just said you're going to do? I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I've been there and felt those feelings. But we spoke the strong name of Jesus over that attack that she was under. And you know, in about 60 seconds, every bit of that pain was completely gone. And I looked up, and guess what I saw? I saw all these kids that had a front row seat, compliments of the devil, brought them right there, that they know that they know that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt for the rest of their life that Jesus is stronger. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You know, I could just go on and on and on this morning, sharing about the amazing things that Jesus is doing. This year at Indian Youth Camp, at the first chapel service on Monday night, at the first song, at the first note of the first song, unlike how it used to be when it would take all the way to Thursday night before we'd finally get a breakthrough from the stronghold of the enemy. I was sitting in the back or standing in the back, and I watched when Pastor Sean began to open up with the worship. You saw him on the screen earlier. There was over 100 teenagers that just walked out of their seats. Nobody asked them to do anything. They were just hungry for God. And they came right down to the front and began to lift up their hands and worship the Lord. And that was the way it was all week long, every night, same way. There's so much power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it does take a while. It doesn't happen overnight. But as we continue to sow the seed and we begin to water the seed, many times with our tears, as maybe you've had those family members or that friend, that coworker that you look at and you think, God, it's impossible for them to ever get saved. I have prayed, I have witnessed, and there's nothing, not one sign that anything is happening. Oh, man, the power of the gospel is stronger even than the circumstances that we can see with our eyes. God's at work. God's at work. And we are rejoicing right now. Beginning last year, we started the expansion of Indian Youth Camp to a year-round ministry to continue to support many of these students back on the reservations. We work all with the local AG churches that are spread across our reservations, like the church in Rocky Boy. They're one of our partner churches. And resourcing them, coming alongside them. We just received a gift from BGMC. That's the children's arm of missions, the children that give to missions. And they just gave us $20,000. To purchase all of the sound equipment, all of the lighting, and all of the projection equipment that we need. One of the things we're doing is expanding ministry by recreating the same kind of services that they experience at Indian Youth Camp in their local community. Not only in their local community, in the local church. So they can understand that the same presence and power of Jesus that they experience at camp can be experienced right in their own hometown. And we are so excited about the way the Lord has opened up that opportunity for us. And as we expand the ministry of Indian Youth Camp, we're doing not only to recreate those moments where the kids that have been to camp, hearts are wide open, but they just haven't made that transfer from all the brokenness in their own lives that they still have to go back to at the end of the week of camp. And they haven't made it in the doors of the church, and they haven't made it to the youth group, and they haven't made it to the children's ministry, and they're not really being discipled. We want to see that happen through these big events that we sponsor, but also we're resourcing the local church and specifically the children and youth ministries with physical resources, but with training and coming alongside them. And then just this June, we were given an opportunity to enroll students that were 18 through 28 in a school of ministry. One of the gentlemen on the screen, his name is John Weasel. He pastors a church. He's Native American. He pastors a church in Omaha. And it's a fairly decent-sized church. And he has a school of ministry that's all set in place, housing and ready, has Native American leadership in it. And he's invited us to bring and enroll our students that are hungry to be equipped to do the work of the Lord, to be the leaders of tomorrow. And so although right now I'm telling you a pipe dream, I tell you, when I first came to this church many, many years ago as a youth pastor from Somerville that resigned from there to go into missions, I was talking in that original cycle I was making, that circuit of trying to get people to support us, monthly support. And it was all a pipe dream that anything was going to happen in Montana. But God is faithful. God is faithful as we go. God is faithful. And you know, for all of you that are here in this gathering place this morning, I believe the word of the Lord isn't just for what God is doing in missions in Montana. That's my place, and I don't want to go anywhere else. I didn't anticipate being in youth ministry at 57, but I love it. It's my place, and I love what God has called. But his calling is upon every one of our lives. Sometimes the direction changes in the course of our lifetime. I don't know what God is speaking into your life, the direction he has given you, or whether it's a new assignment that is stretching you. But God has this powerful message. It's called the gospel. It's the good news for all mankind, for everyone that believes. And as you step out in faith and do what God asks you to do, the power of the Holy Spirit will accompany you in that. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Find those times where you just linger in His presence, and He will open up doors, and the things that are pipe dreams today will become reality. For our native students out there, I'm thrilled about what God is doing. So many of them, their hearts are so open to Jesus. And yet there's so much more that's on the horizon. To see them, many of them become the future leaders at Indian Youth Camp. On our board of directors right now for Indian Youth Camp, we have, I think, three young Native American members of that board. And watching them give input and thinking in terms of the future, you know, us old guys, you know, we're not as relevant as we used to be, but even if we are, which of course we are, but it's just a matter of time before we can't do it anymore. And God knows that, and that's why He raises up the generation behind us. I think about that for IYC, and I think about that for Native ministry in general. And I would just close with this. Would you just pray with us for two things? First of all, pray that everything that's in the heart of God for Native young people would be accomplished. That we would just pray in that way, in faith. And then secondly, as we're traveling, we're raising support. The expansion of Indian Youth Camp requires that we gather quite a bit more monthly support. And already in the last 4 months, we have almost half of it raised. But we need to raise the other half. And would you just pray that God would just, He would just speak to hearts. He knows not all of us are called to partner with the same ministry. He uses all of us for different things. But that God would just put it all together, and that we could quickly, by the end of spring, we would like to be fully funded, where we can run 100% wide open, focus fully on this expansion to see so many of these young people just flourish and become all that is in the heart of God for them to become, where they would beat the statistics, even though the devil says that you're four times as likely to kill yourself as somebody else. Even though the devil says alcohol is probably going to snuff out your life and destroy all your potential. The strong name of Jesus tells a different story, doesn't it? It speaks a different future to these kids. And I love watching it one kid at a time, one young person at a time, discover the plan that God has for their life instead. Thank you for partnering with us and coming and serving this last August. And it was in September. Such a blessing that you parted with us and you share in all that God is doing. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. I know, Lord, we can pray all by ourselves in a closet and you hear us. But also, Lord, you give us the privilege to join together. In the early church, when they were facing great challenges, it says they all gathered together and they began to lift up their voices to God. And it tells us that the place where their meeting was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, Lord, we want to lift up our voices together. Lord, as a gathering of your people here, we call upon the strong name of Jesus. Oh God, would you move sovereignly by your great and mighty power, your matchless power. Your word tells us that you made a show of the devil openly when you triumphed over him on the cross. And so we speak the strong name of Jesus over the Native students that you love so much and that we are privileged, oh Lord Jesus, to live this life in relationship with. We pray for him today, Lord. We pray, God, that you would salvage their futures, oh Lord Jesus. And instead of being a future that is marked with tragedy, that it would be a future that's marked with triumph. Triumph over the schemes of the enemy. A triumph, O Lord Jesus, that leads to health and hope and leads to prosperity, Lord. A future, O Lord Jesus, that's filled with the life of God that touches everything around it and makes it better. Lord, we pray that you would set an open door to provide all that's needed in finances, Lord Jesus, to finish what you have begun. Lord, there's some things that money does, and we ask that you'd provide it. And there's some things that only prayer does. And so we ask, Lord, that you'd also raise up an army of intercessors, people that will be awakened in the midnight hour by a burden to pray, that they would be the keepers of the door that stand and speak the strong name of Jesus in a crucial moment that rescues a life. Intercessors, Lord, that will gather together in groups and individually and lift up the Native American children and youth and actively serve as missionaries in the prayer closet. What a privilege it is to know you, Lord. I pray your great blessings upon First Assembly, upon the ministry here in Rock Hill. I pray for a strong anointing of your Holy Spirit to cause this ministry in the next couple of weeks to touch life after life. That there would be people, Lord Jesus, who are part of the kingdom of darkness today that would be translated into the kingdom of your dear Son because of the investment that they're making. I pray, Holy Spirit, that even now you would sweep across this community. You'd begin to draw and draw and draw people, Lord, that they might come and hear this gospel that's for everyone who believes. Your word says it is powerful, powerful, powerful enough, Lord Jesus, to redeem us. Powerful enough, Lord, to redeem the ones that are still waiting on the outside, needing to discover the amazing Jesus that we have found. Bless your people, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.